The following program was previously recorded.
It's time for another episode of Live and Local. From the studios at 33rd and Bird, I'm your local host, Mike Hogan. Thank you for joining me today. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is trying to crack down on hate crimes, and they are looking for your help. Special Agent in Charge here in Omaha, Eugene Cowell, is on the phone with me. Gene, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course, Mike. It's my pleasure.
What is a hate crime versus what is a violation of civil rights? What is a color of law crime? I mean, what are the differences between these three acts?
Of course. You know, the FBI, we just had our 113th birthday last week, and for over 113 years, we have been committed to working side by side with state and local law enforcement to combat, you know, whatever the crime problem is of the day, from gangs to organized crime to crimes against children to public corruption to human trafficking. And nowhere is that relationship more important than, I think, in the arena of civil rights. For us, there's two main violations that I want to talk with you about, which are hate crimes and color of law offenses. And a hate crime is a traditional criminal offense that has an added element of bias. So it's a criminal offense against a person or property, but motivated by the subject's bias against either their race, religion, ethnicity, national origin, disability, gender identity, sexual orientation. And that can even just be the subject's perception. Even if their perception is wrong of the target of their bias, it still can be a hate crime. A color of law offense is different. A color of law offense occurs when there's an action taken by an officer or an official, someone who has authority given to them by local, state, federal, tribal government, when that person willfully deprives someone of a right, privilege, or immunity protected by the Constitution. Essentially, in a color of law violation, it's a government official who knew something was wrong and did it anyway. And we find both of these violations, from hate crimes to color of law violations, just really undermine the foundation of democracy. And I think we all agree that one of the worst things that could happen in our country is to have a citizenry that fears law enforcement, doesn't believe in the integrity of the criminal justice system. So we work very closely with our state and local counterparts to combat both of these violations.
On those unfortunate times when there is the accusation of someone in local law enforcement perpetrating what was called a color of law crime, violating someone's civil rights based upon their race or gender, et cetera, the FBI gets involved in those cases. Am I hearing that right?
We do. Now, the role we play will, of course, depend on the facts and circumstances of that case. And we receive those leads and tips from a variety of sources, whether it's from the public calling us, whether it's from media reports. Often it is calls from other law enforcement agencies. And we'll follow up on those leads whenever we can. It may be sometimes that we do a parallel case with a state and local agency investigating a color of law violation. Or it could be that we assist them with technical expertise, case expertise. Or it could be that we prosecute or investigate it solely as a federal violation. It really depends on the facts of the case. And those color of law cases can take a variety of forms. And the ones most commonly seen, although all of these are very rare, I do want to emphasize, but the ones we see the most of are use of force, excessive use of force, sexual assault, you know, deprivation of medical attention, presentation of false evidence, and conspiracy.
Okay. There's been so much in the media about these kinds of things. As you look at it, how prevalent is this problem, and have things changed either for the better or the worse over the last 2 to 4 years?
Well, I think one thing that has changed for the better is awareness of the issue. If you look at the overall stats, right, we're a country of over 300 million people. We have over 18,000 law enforcement agencies. By some estimates, there are over 700,000 sworn law enforcement personnel in this country. Other estimates say there's 40 million contacts every year between law enforcement and the public. And in the area of force or use of force comes up in less than 2% of those encounters. And much of that force, majority of it, is reasonable and justified and necessary. So this is not like a problem which is happening in every day, every department, thankfully. But when it does occur, we take it very seriously. And we work closely with the Department of Justice to see, is there a federal violation here? And often it's an issue that has to be examined as, was this a mistake by a law enforcement official? Was it misconduct or was it a criminal act? And we get involved when a determination has been made or there's an allegation of a criminal act. And essentially the core element of it is that an officer willfully deprived someone of a constitutional right. Essentially, they knew something was wrong and they did it anyway. So we don't have clear reporting in this country in terms of numbers of use of force and civil rights violations. What I can say is that awareness has definitely risen, and we think that's a good thing. We encourage people who think they've been a victim of either a hate crime or color law offense or witness to one to call us, to give us the information. And we will follow the evidence wherever it may lead to see if a federal violation occurred here.
Are there any other things that the FBI would ask citizens to do with respect to this, or is it enough to simply, if you see something, say something?
I think that's the core of it. If you see something, say something. If there is an immediate emergency, we encourage people to call 911. If there's a life safety issue at that moment, call 911, call the police. If the emergency is passed, you can still call the police. We also encourage people to call us. And we'll take the complaint. We'll pursue whatever investigation we can. We'll work closely with the Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney's Office to see if a federal violation occurred. And we'll work closely with the state and local agencies to see what the best form is to investigate and prosecute this case if there is a violation of state or local or federal law.
Is there do you by chance have a website where people could maybe leave a tip if they kind of wanted to keep their identity to themselves?
Of course, we encourage people that if you're a victim or a witness of a civil rights violation, whether a hate crime or a color of law offense, you can report it straight to the FBI Omaha field office. Our number is 402-493-8688, or you can leave a tip at tips.fbi.gov, and both of those can be done anonymously if people choose.
In dealing with cases like this in your career, can you regale us with an anecdote of something where you were able to help the healing? You were able to do some repair, not only for the victim, but maybe for the community from which the victim resides?
Well, I would say that's a great question, Mike. I would say that I think one reason that hate crimes are one of our highest priorities is not just because of the devastating impact they have on the victim, but also because on the community. Because we know hate crimes are not just an attack on the victim, but they're meant to threaten and intimidate sort of an entire community. And that's why we take it so seriously. We've had, just last month, we had in our territory a conviction in a hate crimes case where a subject used her vehicle to try to run over two minority youth. We've had cases here in Nebraska of color of law violations where people abuse their position of authority to violate constitutional rights of inmates. So we take these all very seriously. You know, one thing I can tell you is when I was in the academy, it was required that we all took a trip to the United States Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. And I think this has been a requirement for at least 20 or 30 years. And the reason we do that as new agents is to ensure that we have an awareness of when there have been breathtaking abuses of power, the implications that can have on society, and how we in law enforcement, our job is to prevent those kinds of abuses of power. I would say another thing is that new agents now are required, when they're in the FBI Academy, is they take a trip to the memorial to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Washington, D.C., and really study the FBI's current approach to civil rights, our historical approach, and how we can continue to do better to protect all people in our country from being victimized based on their race, gender, ethnicity, where they come from, or any other protected category.
How long have you been with the FBI?
It has been 16 years.
Has the job become harder over these last 16 years, easier? How has it changed for you personally?
That's a great question. You know, the job has changed a lot in terms of technology, in terms of social media, in terms of the ubiquitous of data in our lives, of the degree to which the digital world plays a role in our lives. So things have changed, and the violations that we investigate have changed whether it's from counterterrorism to cyber, to hate crimes, to gang violence. But I will say, although the FBI has changed a lot during my career and even before my career, I think what hasn't changed is our devotion to our core values of fidelity, bravery, integrity. You know, our mission in the FBI is really twofold: to protect the American people and uphold the U.S. Constitution. And while the crime problems have changed and the techniques we've changed and how we interact with the public has changed, I think those core values have remained as solid as ever.
He is Special Agent in Charge Eugene Cowell. And if you see something, say something. The FBI is fighting hate crimes and can always use your help in that. Tips.fbi.gov would be the website to go to. Gene, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Mike, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.